There's nothing I can say in reference to what he said. That's the way we met, and last 8 years we have stayed in touch with each other, and I've really been encouraged by the work that Antoine does, and every time I get a chance to talk to him, I'm always encouraged. He always leaves me with something that I can go a little bit further on. And on that note, for anyone who thinks preaching is easy, I have a phrase that I usually say. If you're going to apply for the job of an evangelist, wimps need not apply. In Psalms 133 and verse 1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It actually has an exclamation point at the end of that sentence. In Psalms 122 and verse 1, it says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." There should have been an exclamation point there, because I believe that when we come together as children of God, we have a responsibility to be glad to see each other, to want to be here. I'm excited about being here. And you might not be able to see it right now, but I think by the time I finish, you're going to agree that he's a little excited. I'm to speak on the subject of follow righteousness. And the scriptures in reference to following righteousness is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 through 26. And we'll read through these, and I'll make a few points, and then we'll go on with our lesson. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 16, says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now, when we read these verses, we can clearly see that Paul is instructing Timothy to be mindful of the challenges that are before him. And he gives him instructions on how to deal with them. And you notice how it is he tells Timothy to stay away from certain elements because they're just no good. They're only going to bring you down. There's a quote by Ernest Hemingway that says, "Life breaks us all, But some of us are made stronger at the broken places. And I think as Christians, we are all broken by life at times. But I hope this morning that I can say something that will make you stronger at those broken places. Those places where you have been challenged and you have found that it didn't work out so well. Maybe I need to try something else. It might be that we just need to try the Lord. Maybe we have been doing it our way too long. If we're going to follow righteousness, then there are some things we need to know. And I hope that at the end of this lesson, you will be stronger at those broken places in your life. First of all, we want to talk about what righteousness is. We want to look at some requirements on our part in order to follow righteousness. And then we want to look at some people in the Bible that thought they were following righteousness, but in reality they were not. And then we'll look at some that were truly following righteousness. And finally, we want to investigate our lives and see if we are following righteousness. So let's begin by asking ourselves, what is righteousness? Just for the purpose of getting into our lesson this morning, we'll use these definitions. Conformity to a standard. And of course, the standard this morning will be this. We can go further and say, in reference to what is righteousness, in a broad sense, it is a state of the person who he's in the position that he ought to be in or should be in based on this. They're doing what they ought to be doing or should be doing. They're in a position or a condition acceptable to God. I don't think I need to read any more definitions on what righteousness is, because I have a pretty good idea that everybody here knows what it is. It's just a matter of us actually doing what we know we should do. With that thought in mind, just by a show of hands, who knows what this is? Just by a show of hands. Okay, for those who did not raise their hands, this is what's called a pattern. If I wanted to make this outfit, this is what I would use. If I want to live a righteous life, this is the pattern that I use. I do not go to the dress pattern to live a righteous life. This will only help me in the clothing area. This helps me in living a life that is acceptable to God. And so, if we're talking about following righteousness, we need to find out what is required in order that we might follow righteousness. And for those that might be wondering, I've been given permission to come from up there. I actually do not preach from the pulpit at home. Don't ask me why. But we need to know what is required in order for us to follow righteousness. Because we don't want to get at the end of life and realize, oops, it's too late. We need the oops now so we can take the necessary action and make those changes that are required. So, what is required? Well, first of all, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us that we have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. So the first thing you need to ask yourself, are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Now, I don't mean I just want something to eat. I mean hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Let me use a little illustration here to see where you are on that scale of hunger. There's this village in Africa and the old wise man is sitting on his bench. And a young fellow wants to know, Guru, what do I need to do to be successful? And the old man takes him in a boat and takes him out on the lake. Gets him in the middle of the lake, grabs him by the nape of his neck, and puts him over the side of the boat and holds him under the water. He's kicking and screaming, trying to get up. The old man brings him up and forces him back down just as fast as he brought him up. He's kicking and screaming, trying to get up. Remember, we're trying to get your interest on how hungry you are. He eventually brings him up, puts him in the boat. The young man says, you old fool, what are you doing? You're trying to kill me. And the wise man calmly says, son, what were you thinking of when you were under that water? He said, you fool, I was thinking I needed air, air, I needed air. And the wise man calmly says, son, when you want to succeed as bad as you wanted that air, you will succeed. So on a scale of 1 to 5 right now, how hungry are you? Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness, or do you just need a snack? If you just need a snack, that won't get the job done. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, it tells us if we are going to follow righteousness, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Notice what it says there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, we have to be transformed. We can't be the same person we were before, after we obey the gospel. We have to change. And God expects us to change. He expects us to live a life of righteousness. He expects us to follow righteousness. And as preachers, we set the example. We can't be saying one thing and doing something else. And though the lessons are designed for preachers and evangelists, we need to understand that as Christians, we all have the responsibility to live godly lives. And you can't say, oh, well, I'm not the preacher. But let me ask you this. Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? You need to be following righteousness. One more thing we need to understand and have if we're going to follow righteousness, and that is we have to give ourselves completely to God. Now, I didn't say partially. Christianity is a full-time job. I know some of us trying to live on it part-time. We think it's a part-time position. It's not. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And there it lets us know that we have to give ourselves completely to God. We have to be totally devoted to God in order that we might live and follow righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped. Notice what he says. But first gave their own selves to the Lord. Okay, how are we doing so far? See, we need to have these little pop quizzes all through this lesson. You need to be examining yourself, because I don't want to leave here today, Antoine, with somebody saying, oh, you did a good job. I really enjoyed that. If I don't cause you to examine what you're doing now, I think I failed. See, I want you saying, Walter, you know, I didn't like what you said, but I know you said, you told the truth now. I didn't like what you said. As opposed to, yeah, that was a good lesson. When I stand in that door back there, don't tell me, that was a good lesson. I want to know why that was a good lesson, okay? I'm real simple. Tell tell me why it was a good lesson so I can do a little better the next time, okay? I need to grow just like everybody else, like the brother was saying a while ago. We need encouragement. A good lesson doesn't do it. Preachers want to know why that lesson was good. So let's look at some who thought they were following righteousness. Because we meet the requirements, we have been transformed, we have that hunger, we're giving ourselves totally to the Lord. But you know what Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25 says, as well as verse chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So this is not the place you want to be thinking that you are right. You want to know that you're right. And by the way, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 tells us that we can know absolutely that we are right. Be ye not unwise, but understanding the will of God. You don't want to be guessing at this point. This is the point. This is the place. This is the time that you need to be getting it right. This is the time. Don't walk out of here, get hit by a car, a stray bullet, laying on your deathbed and wondering, did I get it? No, this is the place. You might not have any other time. You need to be thinking for the present. The future is not ours. At least it has not been promised to us. So let's look at a few people that thought they were doing right, thought they were following righteousness, but in reality, they missed it altogether. Remember those guys called Nadab and Abihu back in Leviticus chapter 10? Oh, they thought they were doing right. Just use fire. Fire is fire. But the Bible says that they used a strange fire. Now, we don't know what strange fire is, no more than in this case, it wasn't what God commanded. But as far as they were concerned, oh, it's all right. It's fire. But God didn't see it that way, did they? So they thought they were doing what they were supposed to do. They thought they were following righteousness, but they were not. Remember another guy back then in the Old Testament? King Saul. He's told to go and destroy the Amalekites. He goes on down there and he surveys the land and realizes, what about all these animals over here? They can be used as sacrifices. You know, we can take them back. They're good. And this old king, we're going to take him on back too. And remember when Samuel comes to him, and, I did what the Lord told me to do. Sounds about like us, right? I did what the Lord told me to do. He says, well, okay, I might be having a little bit of a hearing problem here, but what's all this noise, this livestock I'm hearing over here? Oh, the people brought the best back. They thought we could use this stuff. And now you notice he excluded himself, about like we like to do. Now, in his eyes, he was following righteousness. He had done what God told him to do. But as that story goes, or as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story says that he had not done what God told him to do. So thinking that I am following righteousness and actually following righteousness winds up being two different things. Number two, Saul followed the same pattern that Nadab and Abihu followed. Well, let's look at a couple of people in the New Testament. Remember that couple named Ananias and Sapphira? Well, they thought they could, kind of pull the wool over somebody's eyes. But in this case, they didn't know who they were trying to pull it over. They're trying to pull it over the Lord's eyes. God is able to see what's going on. And so they go out and sell the land and bring it back. You know, and the sad thing about this is all they had to say is, we sold it for this amount, we decided we'd give this amount. End of the story. But no, did you sell it for $5? Yeah, that's all we got. We didn't get but $5 for it. Here it is. Well, the problem with that is you sold it for more than that. It was yours. You could have told us you sold it for $10. And probably could have even changed your mind and said, nah, we decided that we're going to keep it all. But see, you lied. And as far as you were concerned, it was all right. You were following righteousness. It doesn't work like that, does it? We know that's not the case. We know in the light of these examples that that's not following righteousness. Now, the question is, are we going to learn from this? or will we make the same mistakes that they made? Remember Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. We're supposed to learn from these mistakes that people made in the Bible. And if we don't learn from their mistakes, it was just a good story. It was just a good story, but it didn't benefit us. So let's look at some who followed righteousness. Since Nadab, Abihu, Ananias, and Sapphira, and King Saul thought they were following righteousness, let's look at some that actually did. What about Abraham? He's told to leave his family, right? Leave his family. Did he say, oh, but I took a survey with the family members, and they said they like it here? No, that's not what he said. He was told to leave. He packed up and left. How many of us would have done that? But he was following righteousness. He was doing what God told him to do. And what about that time when he and Lot are together? And remember, they're both grown in wealth. And, you know, our tempers start flying. A little discussion come up. Man, something's going to have to be done here, Baker. You know, we got to sell this thing. You know, Lot, I think he makes the best deal, but he winds up making the worst decision of his life. But you know what Abraham said? Keep the peace. You know, whatever you choose, I go to in the opposite direction. It's not about me. It's about doing what's right. How many of us would have done that? How many of us would have been willing to follow righteousness in that particular situation? And remember when he was told to offer Isaac as a sacrifice? Take him up on Mount Moriah. You remember that, right? Everybody here remember that. You're looking at me like, where is that? Now, did he say, oh, wait a minute, the wife and I got together and we realized this is our only child, and we just haven't got that far. We haven't grown that far yet, Lord. Could you give us a few more years? No. He got up and did exactly what God told him to do. It's called following righteousness. Doing what God wants done. It's not about you. I don't care how good a speaker or teacher you might be. I don't care about your bubbling personality where you draw people. It's not about you. It's about the Lord and you doing what he told you to do. How well are you doing? Now, we like to pat ourselves on the back too often. We need to realize there's a lot of work need to be done on us. No, we are not where we could or should be, so we need to be busy doing God's will. So Abraham was a person that did what God told him to do. Abraham was a person that followed righteousness. How do you measure up with Abraham? Better even, how do you measure up with yourself? Are you a little bit better today than you were yesterday? And are you working to be a little bit improved tomorrow than you are today? You see, it's about growth. We have to continue to grow. Let's look at another person who did what God told him to do. A guy named Moses. Anybody heard of that guy named Moses in the Old Testament? I think that guy supposed to have been given instruction about building some boat or something. Some of y'all heard of him, I guess. Nah, I didn't think so. But this guy told to build this boat, and on top of that, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. What is that, Lord? Now, if he asked that question, the Bible doesn't reveal it, okay? But he did what he was told to do. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, it says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So we did. And wouldn't it be nice to have that on your tombstone? Thus did Walter. No, I put somebody else's name there because I know I fall short. Thus did somebody. Everything God told them to do. Wouldn't it be great to be remembered for doing what God told you to do? Following righteousness. Being the person God wants you to be. Living and letting your light shine before the world, that people can see your good works and God get all the credit. You see, he did what God wanted him to do. He followed righteousness. And what about the Lord himself? Surely we've heard of him. Did he follow righteousness? Notice what he said, what it says there in John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. He was following righteousness. Now, I hope by now you're getting the idea that you're supposed to be following righteousness, that you're at a 3 on that scale of 1 to 5. You need to up the ante a little bit, okay? You need to get a little bit closer to that 5. You're not where you could be and where you should be. See, we can always grow, and God expects us to grow. So now that we've seen some that followed righteousness, we've seen some that didn't. They thought they were. We met the requirements, and we know what righteousness is. Now let's attack ourselves, because we've been talking about somebody else up to this point. Now it's time to get personal. Now it's time to make people mad and achieve my objective to get you out of your comfort zone and make some changes in your life. You're not successful doing it yourself, okay? So we need God's help on this. So have you been following righteousness when it comes to the work of the church? Now, some people just seem to get off course somewhere here when it comes to the work of the church. They seem to think the work of the church is any and everything that is found anywhere. Now, isn't it a shame when it comes down to the work of the church, people think it's all about entertainment? And I tell you what, if that was the case at the Westside Church of Christ in Thomasville, Georgia, it'd be pitiful showings. Because I don't have no entertainment for you. I'd be some sorry entertainment. They can barely stand and listen to me preach. Can you imagine me getting up there trying to play a piano, guitar, a drum, or sing? Oh, man, you're talking about driving people away. But when it gets to the point that the church, the work of the church, is no longer about saving souls, it's all about entertainment, recreation, doing this and doing that, and how fancy the preacher can get in his dress. It's not about saving souls anymore. We need to get back to the Bible. We need to get involved in the work of the church. And I don't claim to know everything in the Bible, but I know that there are at least 3 areas that we need to be working on based on what the Bible actually says, or the standard if we're going to follow righteousness. One is we need to be busy preaching the gospel to the lost. Now, if we're not busy preaching the gospel to the lost and we are entertaining, we need to switch them up. The second thing we need to be doing, we need to be edifying those that are saved. Those that are saved need to be encouraged. They need to be built up so they can go out there and get those that are lost. Teach them the truth and bring them so they can be edified. And the third thing that we can do, based on what the Bible says, is to take care of those that are needy among us. Not the needy of the world, but the needy among us. And if we are trying to take care of the needy of the world, the church can't do that. Most congregations can barely take care of themselves. So why would they get involved in taking care of the needy of the world? We have programs set up to take care of those needs. The needy among us won't meet the qualifications sometimes. Just because I lost my job doesn't mean I'm needy. Right. So when you lose your job, don't go running to the church. I. You go and apply for unemployment. You go apply for food stamps. You paid for them. And don't be telling me, I don't want to go down there. Get down there. They are yours, okay? If I lose my job, and back in the 70s, they had a recession. We lost our job. My wife was in school. I went down that biggest day. Give me my food stamps. I paid for them. Give them to me. The work of the church is preaching the gospel to the lost, edifying those that are saved, and taking care of its needy. But what about the worship of the church? Are we following righteousness when it comes to the worship of the church? Again, we tend to think that any and everything can be done when it comes to the worship of the church. You see the thing they got going on now, this praise dancing. What in the world? Where did this junk come from? I mean, they have to stay up late at night to come up with this stuff, Antoine. Where does all this foolishness come from? What is wrong with getting the Bible and sitting down with the Bible and says, we're going to do what this book says, and if we can't find it in this book, we are not going to touch it with a 20-foot pole. What's wrong with that? Oh, it sounds too much like doing right. You see, when it comes to the worship of the church, we need to be singing, teaching. We know those things. Those are the things that we need to be doing. We need to be partaking of the Lord's Supper, giving of our means. Now, we might not want to do these things, but if we do anything other than what is specified, we're in trouble. And God doesn't care who you are. When you disobey him, he calls you on the carpet just like he would anybody else. And don't be saying, yeah, God and I just like this. See, God and it, all of us are just like that. You are not special. I know you want to be special, but you are no more special than any other child of God. God holds you accountable just like he does anybody else. So ask yourself, are you following righteousness when it comes to the worship of the church? Are you doing the things that you can actually find the New Testament church doing in the New Testament? If you're doing something that can't be found, can't be supported by the scriptures, you need to leave it alone. And what about the organization of the church? Are we following righteousness when it comes to the organization of the church? You know, there in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, I can't find but three areas of organization. I found some bishops or elders, overseers. Then you have some deacons. Then you have members. Now, how simple can it get? Now, why do I need a bishop as opposed to bishops? And then under the bishop, I have a long line of people. But it gets worse than that, doesn't it? What about having the Pope up here? You have a college of cardinals under here. You have priests, fathers, and what is all this junk? Is this what we actually find in the scriptures? Remember, once you open that door that much to do something that might seem harmless today, tomorrow it's wide open. And any and everything is coming in. So are we following righteousness when it comes to the organization of the church, the work of the church, and the worship of the church? Now, most of us can kind of squirm out of that one because that's addressing us collectively. And you can always say, you know, that's just the way they are at that church where I worship. And you kind of exclude yourself, right? So I made sure that I didn't leave you hanging in the lurch. I wanted to make sure I got you personally. So now that we have talked about us collectively, let's talk about us individually. Are you following righteousness? You, that's you sitting right there. Are you following righteousness, God's pattern for righteousness, when it comes to how you treat people? Think about that for a moment. In Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 through 39, we have something to the effect, somebody come to the Lord and ask him what is the great commandment. And the Lord says, yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, treat people the way you want to be treated. Now, first of all, God gives us a relationship we have with him. And then he shifts the relationship we have with one another. And that relationship we have with God is the one that needs to be intact in order for us to make sure that we have the right relationship one with another. So how are you treating people? Now, I'm not talking about your brothers and sisters. I'm talking about that obnoxious person that works on your job with you, that person that you just detest, you just cannot stand. You know the person, you know the one I'm talking about. Might be Bob or Fred, Maryann, Barbara. You know the one I'm talking about, right? That person that just gets under your skin. The one that's always just nudging you on. Know you are trying to live a godly life, but they're making it miserable for you. You know the one I'm talking about. Oh, now I have your attention, right? How are you treating that person? Are you trying to get that person to know the Lord? Or maybe you're saying, they'll never obey the gospel. Well, Romans chapter 12 and verses 18 through 21 has something to say about that. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 18. Notice what it says here now. Because God takes into consideration that there will be that person in our lives. Because he says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. God knows that there are some people that we encounter that just rub us the wrong way. And it's challenging for us to deal with. But we're still to do our best to try to get along with that person. But it doesn't end there, does it? It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, we're back to that question. Now, how are you treating your friends? Your co-workers, people that can't stand you, people you can't stand, how are you doing? Are you following after righteousness? Are you doing what God has told you to do in reference to those people? If not, then this is the time you need to start working on it. You need to make sure that you're at least trying to live peaceable with those people. Realizing that God understands what your challenge is. But not only do we need to examine as to how we treat people, are we following righteousness when it comes to teaching others the truth? Yeah, I thought it'd be quiet on that one. How we doing on teaching others the truth? Does each of your friends know that you are a member of the Lord's church? Does every person you come in contact with get a chance to know that there is something special about you because you are following righteousness and trying to reach those that are lost? I don't want you leaving here too comfortable. I want you to leave here knowing that you have been challenged. You see, the people we come in contact with on a daily basis, we need to be trying to reach those people if they are lost. And if they are saved, and we know they are saved, we need to be encouraging them. But let's focus on those that are lost. Do the people in the store where you shop know that you are a member of the Lord's church? Do the people at the cleaner that you use know that you are a member of the Lord's church because you have tried to reach out to them? And remember, the only thing you're supposed to do is do the planting. Don't be doing no harvesting, okay? You leave that harvesting up to the Lord. You do the planting and let God give the increase. God made it kind of easy for us, right? All we have to do is do the planting. Let's go out there and plant. So how are you doing in the area of teaching others the truth? And you know you're supposed to be able to teach people the truth. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, It tells us about we're supposed to be able to answer people when they ask us questions about what we believe. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So you're supposed to be able to answer those questions people put to you, even if you have to get back with them. Yeah, it's getting a little quiet in here. It is this one that we don't like? Well, I'm not skipping over it. I have a little more time, so I'm going to stay on this one. We got to reach those people that are lost. The brethren already made it clear that that's one of our jobs, right? And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we're going to be able to teach, we have to study. And not just read. We have to study. Because we're following righteousness. And Hebrews chapter 5 really kind of beat us up a little bit. Chapter 5 of Hebrews, beginning with verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need milk, but not ready for the food. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, if that's you, if you're that person that's been in the church for all these years and you never taught anybody, not because you're not able, but because you have not prepared yourself, then you need to get busy today. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. You need to start today preparing yourself. You need to make some changes in your life. And if you are able to teach those that are lost and you are not doing it, you don't need to wait till tomorrow. That person that's waiting for you out there, they might die before tomorrow. And wouldn't it be a shame to enter the judgment and have somebody say, if this was possible, Walter, you never mentioned the Lord to me. Man, how would we feel if that happened? We wouldn't feel good, that's for sure. So how are we doing in teaching others the truth? Are we following righteousness? Let's look at one more area. Are we following righteousness in growing as Christians? Sometimes we tend to think as Christians that the way we grow as Christians is come to the Bible class during midweek, come to the worship service and Bible study on Sunday morning, and then everything else is going to take care of itself. And I got news for you. You might learn something, but it's not going to be much. You can't sit there and learn what you need to know in order to teach people the truth and grow as a Christian. It doesn't happen like that. I'm speaking from experience. I tried it. I couldn't get it. When I first obeyed the gospel, I wanted to know. Today, I still want to know. When I obeyed the gospel, the guys that were teaching Bible classes, and here I've been in the church for a couple of months, man, I could do that good. I could make the mistakes they're making. I could at least do that. I can at least do what I'm seeing. I want it to grow. And we have to want to grow as Christians in order to grow. And we're told that we're supposed to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, and notice what it said there. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envy and all evil speaking. In other words, get rid of all of that foolishness, and then you are putting yourself in a position to grow like God wants you to grow. Then he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Oh, we might be thinking that, oh, well, I know enough already. Nah, If you have that attitude, you are in serious trouble. You are in serious trouble. We should all be trying to grow and learn as much as we possibly can so we can help somebody else do the same thing. But we're supposed to grow. Now, all of us know about the, is it the bonsai tree? I might be pronouncing it wrong, so just forgive me on that, okay? But we know the tree that I'm talking about, the tree that is cultivated to be stunted in growth. Now, that tree is full grown. It's full grown. Now, you can be a bonsai tree. But don't be a midget, a midget of a Christian, because you are not full grown. You are stunted in growth. And it's because you don't know what you need to know. You don't want to be that person. You want to be that giant redwood tree. You want to grow as much as you possibly can. Don't be stunted in your growth. Study a little bit every day. If it's no more than 15 minutes a day. Because if you have a love and thirst for the truth, you will grow. And I challenge anybody here right now with this challenge. Just read. Forget about studying. Just read 15 minutes a day. I don't care what it is. Just read 15 minutes a day. You will be surprised at the person you become over a year. Now, I'm not speaking about something I read in some book. I'm telling you from personal experience. If you want to grow, read every day. And right now, I don't care what it is. You will eventually get to the Bible and start doing the studying, okay? But right now, just make it a habit of reading every day. Now, the reason I know that that will help you is because that's what I've done. See, I dropped out of school in the eighth grade. Eighth grade. Got to the point where I knew more than the teachers. Now, I eventually woke up a few years later and realized, oops, that I need to make some changes. But the one thing that I have always done is read. And I read every day. Something every day. So if you want to grow as a Christian, just commit yourself to reading maybe 10 or 15 minutes every day. Get in the habit of doing it. And then never quit. Because you need to be strong when you face that enemy out there. You cannot be half-stepping when it comes to Satan and his henchmen. You need to be following righteousness with the breastplate of armor on. And if you are not growing as a Christian, you're not following righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 tells us we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So are you following righteousness in these areas? As far as teaching others the truth, you know, growing as a Christian, and yes, how you treat people. See, all of these things will determine where we're going to spend eternity. Now, we're going to come up with some other ideas as to whether we're following righteousness in those areas. But for this purpose, I think these are challenging enough. Because most of us have trouble with talking to people about the Lord. That's something we need to work on. Most of us have trouble studying the scriptures. Most of us have trouble with all of these things that we have talked about here. And we can do a much better job than we're doing. And it's my prayer that we leave here committed to doing more than we did yesterday. Let's go back to that quote by Ernest Hemingway. He said, "Life breaks us all, but some of us are made stronger at the broken places." Now, I hope I've said something today that will cause you to be made stronger at those broken places in your life. that you follow righteousness and know that if you do as God has commanded you to do, one day God will tell you, well done, good and faithful servants. But you know, it's God's will that he say that to everybody. Everybody can go to heaven if they want to go. Christ didn't die for just some people. Christ died for everybody. And therefore, when it comes to the gospel, we are told to take the gospel to everybody. Don't pick and choose who you're going to share the truth with. If somebody would give you an audience, tell them about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Tell them about the commands to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And for those of us who are Christians, we need to know that when we sin, God expects us to repent. He expects us to have a change of mind about what we have done that just wasn't right. We may have thought it was all right at the time, but now we realize, no, that wasn't right. I have sinned against the Lord. And now I need to stop doing that, return to the Lord, be forgiven, and be an example for others. That's God's plan for all of us. If you're here and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, you have the opportunity to respond right now as we stand and sing.